Greetings, this is Nigeria. You're listening to UrbanBuzzMag.com. I have Dr. Nicole on the line. Dr. Nicole, say hello and let people know about your book and just who you are.
Hello, Urban Buzz Magazine family. My name is Dr. Nicole T. Lyles Belton out of the Atlantic City, New Jersey area. I'm very excited to be able to interview with Urban Buzz Magazine today. And I have a new book out entitled Losing You is Not an Option. Get Back Up and Fight. This book is currently available on Amazon.com and also BarnesandNoble.com. The book is very, very transparent about my life and some of the challenges and struggles that I've had to deal with and I've overcome. What the readers will be able to find is that even in between the pages of my life story, they can find themselves as well, because many of us have dealt with some of the same situations and found ourselves at a place called I just don't understand, or a place of why me, or a place of just totally throwing in the towel and wanting to give up. It is very important that we understand that. We can't lose ourselves in our challenges and in our battles and our circumstances in life. And the only way we won't lose ourselves is if we fight. We have to fight for our lives. Unfortunately, no one else can do this for us. It's something that we have to do for ourselves. We have to want to get better. We have to want to do better. And the only way that we're going to get out of pain is to fight through it. The only way we're going to get out of frustration is to fight through it. And the only way we're going to get out of our past hurts, past failures, past circumstances, is to fight through it. So I am hoping that you will go out and purchase my new book, and that it will definitely empower you and to inspire you to understand that cannot be lost. That can't be one of your options. And if you find yourself lost or feeling like you are just flat on your back and not wanting to do anything else, you have to fight for your life.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned, I read the book, I loved it. There's parts where I just laughed, definitely parts I can relate to. But the one part that really stood out as you're speaking about fighting is you mentioned something about being in the ring. And you have the people on the outside, but no one's in that fight but you, and can't no one come in and help you. Mm-hmm. You just got to go ahead and fight mm-hmm. until that bell ring. And I thought that was a great analogy. Can you just expand on that?
Yeah, definitely. We often watch boxing matches, and we watch to see how each of the managers, the family, and the friends, they're outside of the ring. They're cheering their opponent. They're cheering their partner on, their family member on, or their person that they want to win. They're cheering that person on from the outside of the ring. They want them to win from the outside, but they cannot get inside the ring and fight for them.
Right.
It's up to the person that's inside that ring to fight for themselves. It's up for the person inside the ring to defend themselves,
mm-hmm,
to make
mm-hmm.
sure that they cover their faces, and to make sure that, you know, that they don't come out totally wounded and not being able to walk again, not being able to talk again, and be totally get lost in the fight. So they have to defend themselves at all costs.
Right.
Else, also, we want them to win. No one else on the outside can jump in and say, that's my sister, so let me fight for them. That's my daughter, so let me fight for them. That's my brother or my dad or my aunt or my grandma, so I'm going to fight for them. No, we can cheer them on from the outside, but no one's going to fight for you but you. So it's up to you to get in that ring and do the best you can and fight for your life.
And that's in every situation, you know, in relationships, job loss,
mm-hmm.
Medical mm-hmm. issues, and excellent analogy in the natural, but let's take it to the spiritual, because see, no one is able to wipe those tears in your pillow you crying at night. No one knows when, mm-hmm. you know, how you feeling when you're standing in the shower, just overwhelmed, letting the water run on you, praying and hoping. Mm-hmm. No one's there sometimes when we begin to isolate, and you spoke about that in your book as well, when you want to share, but you don't share, and you tend to isolate. And so now the only person in your corner then is Jesus. And he's standing there saying, mm-hmm. I'm right here, like you mentioned, I'll never leave nor forsake. Mm-hmm. It's odd because we know that, we say it, we heard it preached. But from your experience, how are you able to relate, or when did you come to the realization, you know what, he really is here, he never leaves nor forsakes?
It was actually at the point where he was all I had left.
Mm.
I was so used to having I was so used to having such a large number of people around me, so many friends that I saw always wherever I went. I had to have them with me, and they were with me at the mall. They were with me whenever I would go out and speak and preach or different events. They were always there. And then when the betrayal came in and the friendships were lost, and I was no longer, I went through my divorce, and then some of the people that I thought were my friends ended up with my husband. I was all by myself. I was all by myself. And because my best friend is my mother and my goddaughter. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't want to hurt them with what was hurting me, I pulled back from them. So I didn't want them, you know, being distracted by my pain and having sleepless nights, because I was having sleepless nights.
Right.
So I found myself that I was all by myself, and I didn't know that he was all I needed, and so he was all I flat out had.
My
I had
God.
Nothing else. I had no one else. There was no one else for me to talk to. I had nothing else to do but pray.
Mm.
That's it. That's all I could do. And I believe with all of my heart that he allowed it. He advocated it. He was in his permissive will for me to go there in that dark place where it was just he and I, so he could work on me.
Amen.
Because he couldn't do it as long as I had the crowd.
Oof.
If the crowd was with me, he could not work with me. So he had to allow me to be stripped of everything that I thought I needed so I could see in the end all I really needed was him.
I love it. I love it. I wanted some more, but you know, you got me over here like, woo, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Girl, I know he the light in the dark hour. I know. I'm telling you guys, please get this book. And talk about how, because you talk about being stripped. Can you just, because, you know, you got to get the book to get the more details. I'm just touching on some issues. Talk about being stripped and how you begin to realize it's not your education, it's not your friends, mm-hmm. it's not your degree.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Come on, sis. Help me out here.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to someone right now. I have a doctorate degree. I have a PhD in leadership and education administration.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have a very good job. I drive a CLS 550 Mercedes-Benz. I'm the pastor's daughter. I do so many great things, and a lot of people know my name. But when I was in the bottom of that pit, none of it, and I do mean none of it, meant an ounce.
Mm.
None of it could pull me out of that pit. None of it can. My smarts couldn't save me. My looks couldn't save me. My education, my status, my money, none of it meant anything, because none of it was able to help me. Everything that I worked so hard Ooh. For in my life to earn,
Jesus.
None of it could save me. I was at the point of getting ready to kill myself.
Mm.
That in the book as well. And nothing I had could save me. I could not pull on it for strength. I could not pull on any of it for peace. I could not pull on it for sanity. I couldn't pull on it for anything, because I was going out of my mind broken. I was at such a broken place that even putting together the broken pieces at that point could not help me.
Jesus.
Only thing that could help me was Jesus. And I had to speak. Yes, having these things are nice, but having Jesus is the world to me.
Girl, I mean, when I was reading your book, I just was like, oh my God, yes. And I'm so glad you shared your credentials. I'm so glad you really touched on that, because to me, that's so important, that people can get so caught up in fashion and things and people and places.
Mm-hmm.
But you really, those who are listening, trust. This is how we get to the place where we start saying, nobody did that but God. These are the situations, and I believe you, I love what you said, his permissive will, because don't think that because you're going through something that it's a punishment. It is an education.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process, and you mentioned that
yep.
as well, of
yep.
what you have to go through to get to know him, because at the end of the day, family, it's all about relationship. And he's the best friend in the whole wide world. He's the friend who has the answers to every question and everything you desire to know or want to know. Mm-hmm. How great is that? How great is it to get in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I was thinking about this, or I was wondering, should I go here, or should I go to this event, or should I do that? Because as a journalist, I get a lot of invites, but I don't take them all. Because I'll say, well, Lord, should I go? Mm-hmm. Should I be there? And sometimes he says no. And people get mad at me like, well, why you didn't come? You know so-and-so was going to be there. But I'm going to tell you this. So-and-so ain't there. So-and-so ain't there when it's dark over on my end. You know, I can't call so-and-so to come help. The only help, the ever-present help in time of trouble and need is Jesus.
That's fine.
And I love your book, and I'm so thankful that it passed my desk and I had the opportunity to read it and show my love and support for you. I thank God for your testimony, and we definitely are esteemed by each other's testimony. And I don't know, I want to pull on you some more to just really just minister again to some of the people who get caught up in titles. You know, and just caught up, I'm Bishop so-and-so. At the end of the day, who are you really? We get so caught up in masks behind these things, but God will surely show you who you are. Can you just elaborate on that?
I think one of the greatest things that we don't understand is that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we want to hear him say, well done.
Bless God.
Thy good and faithful servant. Mm. Not that good and faithful apostle, not that good and faithful, you know, bishop, first lady, pastor, doctor, minister, elder, prophet, none of that.
Right.
That good and faithful servant. And what I've learned is that even with all of my titles and all the things I do, my greatest reward is serving other people.
Amen.
My greatest reward is to be able to tell somebody, I know it hurts.
Mm.
I know it hurts. And I will not tell you to cry your last tear yesterday. Because if you have to cry in order to release, keep on crying until you get it all out. If that means you have to scream until it comes out. If that means you have to lay flat on your face, prostrate, and pray before the Lord, do what you have to do. You've got to get better. And no title is going to get you better. No degree is going to get you better. No amount of money is going to get you better. You have to have, as you said, a relationship. You have to be able, as I tell people, talk to God like you talk to your best friend.
Right.
Like, all to the point where, oh, Father God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have to do all that. You want to hear straight up. There were times when all I could say was, God, it hurts.
Amen.
God, help me. God, I can't do. He wants to know that you, he knows you need him, but he wants to know that you know you need him.
Right.
And once you do that, you will see, I'm glad to have all these titles that I had. I'm glad for everything I worked hard for, but there was no greater possession that I had than my relationship with Christ.
Amen.
Because that's all that is keeping me.
Jesus.
That is all that has kept me. When I was on my, I want to die. Let me die tonight. When I had the plan laid out in detail to die, it was only because he snatched me up.
Yes.
The people used to think back in the day was, Jesus will pick you up if he has to reach way down. And he had to snatch me off the bottom of the gutter to get me back up. Because that's how far I allowed myself to fall.
And you know, that reminds me of Jonah, when Jonah just was in rebellion and didn't want to do what God had asked him. In the last chapter, it talks about, I love when Jonah just confesses and admits to God that, and I love how the scripture says, and Jonah prayed to his God. See, because when it get dark, you better know who you trusting in.
Yeah,
you better know who and what you're believing in. I heard a pastor that say that, you know what, let's just cut the nonsense. You talk to your God and let me talk to my God and let's see what happens. Like Elijah, when he was like, what's wrong? Your God is sleeping. You know, he can't hear you. What's going on? And then when he called upon the Lord, he came and licked the water up. So we better know for sure who we praying to. And knowing and being able to confess and acknowledge the results. And, you know, you're a perfect testament of the results. And getting that clarity and understanding that, yes, God in his permissive will allow some things, and he will send someone who can comfort you. Like you had strong parents throughout all of this who were able to, you know, kind of, you wasn't the one that I'm just going to fall on them. You're a little independent, kind of like myself. And so, you know, we're not going to just be like, help, help. So it really takes a lot. But understand that when God gets us to that place where we say, okay, we need some help, he sure will send wisdom, you know, and a person who is wise will come to your aid and give you that, what you need, and help you through your circumstances. And that's important. But one of the key elements is, and everybody seems to forget this, but it's in your Bible, confess your sins. Confess one to another.
Yeah.
Be able to say, I messed up, I'm wrong. And as I always tell my sister, one of the problems we have is saying, I'm sorry, or I did that, I made a mistake, I shouldn't have done that, or I wasn't, you know, transparent enough to get the help. And when we're like that and we don't do it with people, it is such a blessing. It really is, to know that in those dark hours and in the quiet time, that he is an ever-present help. And, you know, you saying sometimes, you mentioned that you're like, God, I can't do it. I just be like, help. I thought Erica Campbell's song, Help, was the best song ever. Because that's all I could say, help me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. You know, and I thank God that he shows up, and it's so important that we share and know for ourselves that he will show up. Tell us the name of the book again.
My book is Losing You is Not an Option. Get Back Up and Fight.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking here about just the getting back up is definitely that resurrection power in Christ. That is what really can get you up when you're down. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
amen. So, anything else you want to talk about? What's going on currently? Are you touring with the book, or give us the...
Yes, actually, I'm actually touring this month. I will be in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
That will be on March the 29th. Actually, will be in Las Vegas the week of, actually the 25th through the 28th, I will be in Las Vegas. So I will be able to have my book in that area as well. And then, as I mentioned, on March 29th, I will be in Delaware. In April, I will be in Pennsylvania and also New Jersey. And so if you would like to find out more about my dates, you can follow me on Facebook under Nicole Lyle Zeltzman, because I will always have my information posted there. And I'm also on Instagram under Dr. Nick 7. D-R-N-Y-C and the number 7.
Cool.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why you wrote this book, tell people.
I wrote this book because I wanted other people to know that you can survive. You can make it. I wanted people to know, first of all, you're not by yourself. Oftentimes when we go through our battles, we think we're the only person that's ever dealt with it. I believe that the Lord saved my life for the purpose of me going back and saving other people's lives. Because what happens is it becomes a ripple effect. Because I can help you, then you go help someone else.
That's right.
And then they help someone else. And then it helps someone else. And that's what it's supposed to be. So I wrote this book to empower, to motivate, and to inspire people to understand, yes, it hurts. Yes, you've been through hell, but you've made it. And since you made it, you owe it to yourself to not exist, but to live. Since
My
you're
God.
Alive, you are as if you're alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's something about survivors. I'm one myself. It's something about that fire that the Lord places upon us. We can't even deny it if we tried. If I tried to act like I didn't survive something and didn't want to help somebody, shame on me. But that's what the Bible says. When you become strong, then strengthen your brothers. So, you know, brother, sister, same thing.
Your brothers,
That's right. So we appreciate you, and definitely thank you for coming by. And truly, you are welcome to be a key player. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. Please keep us up to date on what you're doing. And definitely when you're in New York, give me a call and so I can come by and check you out. I'd love to meet you in person. But I definitely thank you for stopping by the UrbanBuzzMag.com and just sharing with us and ministering to our audience.
Thank you so much once again for having me. I'm so appreciative. I really do appreciate it.
All right. Well, we thank you and appreciate you as well.
God bless you so much.
Amen.